three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Today, but we are taking time to go through Jason Wilde's most important Packers heading into 2026. Of course, you can find the list as it continues to be released over at channel3000.com. I'm Gabe Neitzel, in for Jason Wilde as the cousin sub of the day. And let's start here, Tausch, because I was on the esteemed panel that Jason, once he puts together the list, sends it out to a handful of us here at ESPN Wisconsin. Hey, did I miss anybody? Would you have somebody higher? When Jason sent you the list, was there anybody that you gave him feedback on of, maybe this guy should be a little bit higher than he is?
Not really, because, as I said, he's got everybody on the list. There's about 35 or 40 dudes on the list. So I always kind of look at that top part of it, because when you start looking at, you know, the 12 to 20, it's a lot like the quarterback list. There's some interchangeable, you know, parts. I think Trey Smack is too low. I think he is going to be a top five, because he is good. That's one of the spots where you're sinking or swimming, and you've decided to throw him out there, and I hope he's ready for it. We had Ryan Longwell join us. I didn't feel great after Longwell came on with us talking about Trey.
And that's where I said, Jason, Trey Smack has to be higher. Because I keep coming back to that season, and Ryan Longwell missed a 29-yard field goal. And Ryan Longwell, in the long run, ended up being a great Green Bay Packer. Went into the Packers Hall of Fame with you. And that team in 1997, coming off of a Super Bowl, was good enough where they could absorb that one loss that cost them home field advantage in the NFC Championship game. They still went out to San Francisco, beat up on the 49ers, and we don't need to talk about what happened in Super Bowl 32, but that team was good enough to do that. I don't know if this team is good enough, if the difference between winning or losing the division is one game, and he misses a game-winning kick. He could still be fine in the long run, Tausch, but as Brian Gutekunst said years ago, championship teams have championship-level kickers, and they don't know if Trey Smack's a championship-level kicker. They hope he is, and they hope he can be from right away, but rookie kickers are going to have their struggles. Tyler Loop last year was really good for the Ravens till he missed a kick against the Steelers.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, and I think drafting and moving up to get him puts a lot of pressure on him. And now if you have a team that you believe is Super Bowl caliber, which obviously the Packers believe, that adds another layer. And we won't know. I hope, this is going to get examined and diagnosed, to the nth degree through training camp. It's already happened in mini camp. He missed a few kicks and everybody, oh, boy. And for everybody that's, Brandon McManus, he made a lot of kicks in the regular season. Last year was not very good. I know, we made 20-some-odd in a row. Okay, money was on the table, and we're not having to have these Bears conversations. And like, if it hadn't happened, Colt Loveland could talk all he wants. We wouldn't care because, it's the Bears. It's what they do. Well, the Bears beat us. That's what they did last year. If McManus can make kicks, that doesn't happen. So that spot is critical, and you're right in the fact you don't know if this team is going to be good enough to overcome it. Well, now I would argue in today's playoff format where one team gets a bye and you have to win another round of games, it's even more important. That Cleveland game of last year, the Panther game of last year, the Cowboys tie. Yeah, you're going to lose games. I think everybody that's covered the NFL and played in the NFL – we all realize, man, very rarely do you not lose a game. It's happened once in the entire time we've seen this. You're going to lose some games. But the close games, it can't be we're not winning any of them. You have to find ways to win them because going in as a 7th seed, I was on a football team that was a 6th seed, but we were humming, and we end up going to win a championship. It was a great, you know, very rarely does that happen. More likely than not, it's the 1 or 2 seed that plays home games or doesn't have to play a round of the playoffs that advance to Super Bowls. And the only way you do that is by winning your division and winning those close games throughout the regular season. And a lot of that falls on the place kicker. So, Trace Mack, God bless you. I hope that you're up to the task because Packer fans want another championship. And a lot of it will hinge on whether you can make big-time kicks in big pressure moments. And we'll find out if that is indeed the case. So, yeah, I thought he was too low on Jason's list. And I'm sure there's a lot of Packer fans that feel the same way.
I can't wrap my head around just the risks they've been willing to take with these rookie kickers. And it's honestly made me, and I thought I appreciated Mason in the moment, Mason Crosby in the moment, but it's made me appreciate him a whole heck of a lot more since then. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that whatever year it was, 2012, when he struggled, the Packers went, no, we know this guy's good enough. We're going to ride it out with him. And he had so many great moments after that. It just teaches you, once you get a really good kicker, you have to do everything you can to hold on to that guy. Yep. I hate going through this, Tausch. I hate being a fan and going, all right, is my kicker going to be any good? Can I trust him? And kickers are going to miss kicks every now and then, but if Trace Mack goes out there and misses a kick in week 3, week 4, you're going to be on the edge of your seat for the rest of the year. And that's unfair to him, too, because of what's happened here over the past how many ever years since Mason Crosby left.
Yeah, it has been a constant battle, and as our friend and teammate Molly from Molly and Jim had said, the Packers have had a harder time replacing kickers mm-hmm. than they have quarterbacks, which is insane to say. But Molly hit that, I don't know when she said that, a while ago, and we just keep seeing it, and Goody has struggled with this because I think you want to have a good young kicker. You want to have a great veteran. What you don't want to have is an overpriced veteran that you don't count on, that you can't count on. But I don't know if you really want to go into this season. Just like he tried, I thought wisely, grabbed a young kicker with Jordan Love's first year as a starter, and you kind of are assuming, all right, we're not going to probably be a championship contender until you were. And then everybody else is growing and can have those growing pains. You're not allowed to miss a 40-yard kick that would put you up by 7 against your rival in an NFC divisional game. You have to make it. And when you don't, all of a sudden, then that pressure starts feeding itself, and that is already a pressure-packed job. You add to it by being on a really good team that's looking at you like, you need to make these kicks. It's a real fine, tough balancing act that Goody has to put up, has to deal with, and he hasn't gotten it right yet. That is a spot. Hopefully Trey is going to be that guy, can overcome it, can find his niche, and will be consistent. And if that's the case, we're going to be very happy that Goody gave up draft picks to get him.
Tausch, I know that your computer is confused as to what time it is, so maybe you can fire up, you know, during the break here, some of those fine products from Jones Dairy Farm. For the rest of us, you know, it's not necessarily breakfast time, but your computer, I mean, it thinks it is breakfast time, so maybe, you know, a little bit
of
sausage,
it's always breakfast time, it's lunch. Yep, Jones Dairy has it all, and what I love about Jones Dairy, family-owned and operated, 7 generations right here in Fort Atkinson, all the way back to 1889. And Gabe, we're all trying to eat cleaner and better and healthier. You don't want all these preservatives and all this other, you know, genetically modified, all this stuff. You don't want any of that, and that is the great part, Jones Dairy. All the way, the original family recipe, pork, chicken, turkey, not filled with all these nitrates and everything else, natural ingredients. And, of course, the bacon. Oh, baby, their bacon is life-changing. Dry aged for up to 3 weeks, intense flavor. It is worth the wait. They got cherry wood, hickory hardwood, all of the great stuff. Check the website, at JonesDairyFarm.com to find out which grocery stores you can find all throughout Wisconsin. Again, that is JonesDairyFarm.com.
It is a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. We need caller 12. Caller 12 at 844-770-3776. Caller number 12, 844-770-3776. It's Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. We get to that coming up next on Wilde and Tausch. For some Wilde and Tausch trivia, it's presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. I'm Gabe Nodgel, the Cousin Sub of the day for Jason Wilde. And today, our contestant for Wilde and Tausch trivia is Brian from Williams Bay. Brian, what's going on? Do you feel good about your Wisconsin trivia and your Wisconsin geography trivia knowledge?
Gabe, we got to play the open first.
Oh,
okay. Oh, Gabe. Come on, Gabe.
Go ahead. Play the open.
Jeez,
what are you waiting for me for?
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Cool down with the summer shake from Cousin Subs. Enjoy four delicious flavors, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and mint. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Vortex Golf. Trivia winners this week receive a hat, ball marker, sticker, and a blade rangefinder courtesy of Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
All right, that's on me. I thought like the music would just come in. Didn't really realize we had the full open. Hand up. That's on me. I'll own that. But we do have
what
Brian
a pro.
From Williams Bay on.
There you go, Brian. Yeah, that's professionalism.
But now I feel
Brian,
much
what's going
better.
On, man?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing great. Always having fun hanging out with my guy, Tausch. All right, Brian.
The best.
You know it. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday on Wilde and Tausch Trivia. So question number one, the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open took place yesterday. We were all there. It was at the Bog Golf Course, and the Bog is located in which Wisconsin city? Is it Saukville? Is it Sauk City? Or is it Saukesha?
Saukdale.
That is correct. Saukville.
Saukesha is pretty good.
That's good.
It's a good one. Owen, that's a good job by you, Owen. That's
credit to Jesse.
I like that. I was hoping you were going to take credit because you know Jesse would if somebody else did it and he said it, but we'll go about it. All right. Which of these Wisconsin cities is not located in Dodge County? Is it Fox Lake, Horicon, or Waterloo?
First one.
Just right outside of
Waterloo.
Beaver Dam. Yeah.
Waterloo. Yep.
Yeah. Waterloo.
All right.
I bet my Waterloo dollars. Right now.
You just hit your wall. I was gonna make a Waterloo joke, but I'm glad you did it instead.
Okay, so question number three on Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. How do you guys say this word? Longitudinally?
Longitudinally. you gotta really bring it up.
you gotta bring it up. You gotta have the energy when you're saying that one. Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest east? Is it Horicon? Is it Hortonville? Or is it Harrison?
Well, let's see.
Tough questions. These are tough questions.
Yeah, this is a real tough question, yeah.
I didn't know this one at all, and I would have gotten the last one wrong, too.
How about Horicon?
Goose country, what I've been told. Not duck country. I was told that that's not. I don't even know where Harrison is. Should I know where Harrison is?
Apparently, it's located further east than Horicon and Hortonville. And the only reason I know Hortonville is because when I was a kid, that was like the first time that any Horicon athletic program went to state, and Horicon lost to Hortonville in softball. So it's the only reason I know where Hortonville is.
Yeah,
I have no idea where Harrison is.
I don't either. Somebody will tell us. Somebody will give us a shout where I'm guessing it's east, unless, in fairness, Jesse's wrong a lot on these, and this could be the furthest thing west, too, of the state of Wisconsin.
Mm.
All right, Brian, good effort. Your effort was okay today. I thought the questions were really tough.
It wasn't very good, but it's our usual.
Tough questions. Tough.
I'll be talking to you guys tomorrow.
I don't know how many people know Fox Lake.
Oh, Brian, are you in the champions bracket tomorrow?
Well, I'm in it tomorrow, but yeah.
Let's go. Well, that's the one you want to win. Today, you still have a shot. You get two entries with you're getting one right, mm-hmm. and obviously one for participating. Levi won it last week with only getting one right. But tomorrow, the big matchup with our partners with Events by Design and our Tournament of Champions, we're looking forward to having you on again tomorrow, Brian. And thanks for all your support. We appreciate it.
Well, at least it's not a Friday, and Fridays have been winning. So this way, I'm sure that now Fridays won't win, so my odds are better.
There you go. That's the goal. That is the goal. And if not, Jesse,
you guys have a great day.
Allegedly. Appreciate it. You
as well, Brian. Yeah, tough questions. Tough questions from Jesse today.
Yeah, he does this when he knows he's not going to be on the show. Because he likes to put it out there so he thinks that so people think that he has tough questions, and then he dips away a little bit when he does that.
Yeah, he doesn't want to stand up and face the criticism if there are too tough questions. Just
wants to completely duck out. Exactly. Duck. Good one.
Well, Owen
again, more horror.
Owen is in for Jesse today, so we'll see if Owen can ask us some better questions when we get to Whoa Owen. That's coming our way next on Wildy and Tausch. No Jesse Nelson today, no Jason Wildy today. I'm the cousin sub for Jason, Gabe Neitzel, along with Tausch. But we still have to play a little Whoa Owen with Owen, our cousin sub of the day, in for Jesse.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, guys. I'm just going to preface this. So I still live at home, and I had a sandwich from a leftover lunch the other day, and I put it in the refrigerator. I didn't mark it because, we're not a family that you need to, put your name on something.
How do you put the sandwich? Is it in a Ziploc bag? Is it just on a plate? Like, can you kind of give us a little layout of, is it a homemade sandwich?
This was a takeout. This was from, a local bar and grill. So it was, in a takeout container.
Okay.
So I put it at the bottom of the fridge because that is where there was a space open for this box.
Sure.
I leave it in there. I come to work. I didn't bring it with me to work. But then the next day, I was off, and I wanted to have that for lunch. So I go to open up the refrigerator, take my sandwich out, except my sandwich is gone. So now I got to go through the list of culprits of who could have touched my sandwich. Number one, my father. He said he didn't even see it in there. He doesn't know anything about it. A little skeptical, but okay. Culprit number two.
All right.
My brother. I text him. He says, no, I didn't take it. Well, now that means I got to go to culprit number three, and the most unlikely out of all of them, my mother. Come to find out, my mother threw the sandwich away because she thought it was my brother's girlfriend's leftovers, who is notorious for just leaving leftovers in there. Am I upset, or should? Am I right to be upset that my sandwich got thrown away?
No, you shouldn't be upset. A, you didn't mark it. You didn't put your name on it. Listen, here's the deal, and this is not to denigrate. You're living with mommy and daddy. Like that, you're living with mom and dad right now.
Price of living is tough out here, Tausch.
I understand. I'm not hating on it. I'm not hating on it at all. But all I'm saying is, if that is the case, if your dad who is putting you up in Lent. I'm assuming, I don't know what, if he's charging you, I don't know, that's irrelevant. If he wants to eat your sandwich, he can eat your sandwich. Now, if you put a name on it, that changes the dynamic of the should you poach the sandwich or not. But if somebody, if you're living in the house and you're not paying rent and you bring a sandwich and you don't take it to work, I get irritated when we have leftovers and our kids won't eat them. And I almost feel like I have to eat them, and that could be a problem. Part of why I'm a little stockier is because I have leftover issues. It sounds like that's not the case there, but I don't think you have any leg to stand on in being mad about the sandwich, even though, would you feel better? I know I'd feel 100 times better if I did, if it was my mom, dad, brother, whatever, ate my sandwich. Throwing out the sandwich would drive me nuts.
See, that's the thing. I would feel better if they just ate it. It was a good sandwich, so I'm like, whatever, you got to enjoy that, sir. It sucks, but throwing it away, it was...
Why didn't you take the sandwich to work? Did you just forget it?
I wasn't planning on working as long as I was that day, so I just didn't bring the lunch in.
You understand you're working with Jesse Nelson. You're probably going to end up having to work harder and longer than you maybe anticipated.
The follow-up I have, so you said your brother's girlfriend is notorious for leaving leftovers
and not eating them.
Your refrigerator?
Yes.
Okay, if you know that's the case, I think you should be a family that starts labeling things.
But
people who do not live in the house are leaving leftovers? Yeah, I can understand how things that don't get labeled get thrown out. Like, it's completely understandable. I know you don't want to change it, but why are you also letting people who don't live there leave leftovers in the refrigerator?
But here's the real kicker. She's a vegetarian, and this was like a three-meat sandwich. It had Italian beef, it had Philly meat, it had Euro meat. Like, all you had to do is open it up and see it was a meat sandwich, and, like, no, she would not eat that.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're leaving, if you are notorious and you have somebody who's leaving food behind, I think you gotta start. I just think you gotta start labeling the food. Oh, and I think that's the way it's gotta go. If you put a little sticky note on there, a little date on there, because again, some things can get lost in the back of a refrigerator. Some leftovers can just get lost back there. So I understand wanting to keep a refrigerator clean. I think you just gotta start putting a little sticky note with your name and the date that you put it in the refrigerator on there.
All right, thank you for the advice.
What is your guys' thoughts on how long you leave a leftover in the fridge? What's the policy? Let's say you get Indian food or Chinese food or, like, I think sushi you don't do. Like, I don't think you do sushi leftover. I think it's just but a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm with you
because
there.
Because what's the rule of thumb on if you have a cousin sub and you put it in the fridge, like, is it 2 or 3 days? If you make a grilled cheese and you leave, where are you guys at with how long you're going to let that thing sit in the fridge?
It depends upon what it is. Like, if I threw, you know, a nice pork shoulder on the smoker, like, that's probably going to carry the dinners, you know, come up with different ideas to use all the pulled pork. It's probably going to carry dinner for 5 or 6 days, you know? And if it's a sandwich, though, from a place, it's 2 days tops. Like, if I'm
two
getting
days.
Thai food or Chinese food, I think it's 2 days tops. You want to eat that before 2 days is up.
You're saying Thai food only 2 days? Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I don't think I want that in my refrigerator much longer than 2 days.
All right. Okay.
What's your rule of thumb in the old Tausch household?
We got a little more runway, but, you know, I've learned the only person that eats the leftovers in our house is typically me. That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that one bit. I fight them, and I usually don't win, and that bothers me.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right, just one more quick hitter for
what
you guys.
Can I ask you, what did your mom and dad say when you accused them? Sounds like a little bit... out of pocket, that they were wolfing down your sandwich. What'd they say?
My dad really was unfazed by it because he has done that before. I think my mom was just confused because, like I said, she thought it was my brother's girlfriend's sandwich, so she didn't feel as bad throwing it away.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Whoa, Owen. Whoa, Owen.
Whoa, Nelly!
One last quick hitter for you guys. How do you guys feel with the MLB All-Star Weekend? One of my favorite parts about it is that every player has their respective team's jersey on. I think that is one of the most underrated parts about MLB All-Star Weekend and sets it above of some of these other North American professional sports leagues.
Go ahead, Gabe.
I think it's always a good look. I think it's an easier jersey to sell. You know, like the ones they were wearing yesterday had the kind of get the American, you know, American 250 celebration. So kind of the red, white, and blue in the numbers on the back. I think it's a clean look. I think it's a good look.
I've never liked the let's have a uniform. Like the Major League Baseball All-Star, it's a celebration of your team. And I think it's kind of cool when you do have the Brewers logo. Like that to me needs to be in play. I never liked it was just American and it was, oh, it's white, red stripes and whatever else. So I guess I hadn't really thought about that. But no doubt about it, there's something I think it's important to continue to represent your team along with your, obviously, your name when you make an All-Star game. So I like it. I always love it when the when it was the Pro Bowl. Guy, at least you'd always have the helmet. You'd see the you'd see the green and gold, and you'd see that. I think they should have, but I think football you have to be a little bit more mindful because you want to have you can't have a red and an orange. Like I understand that baseball. I think they get it right. But the All-Star games in general, I heard Buster Olney this morning talking. Half the stadium was out by the eighth inning. The baseball All-Star game has always been the gold standard. NFL's always been a blank show. The last 10, 15 years, because I get it. Nobody wants to do it. Hockey got it right. I would say the way all of our sports have globalized, I think you're foolish as a commissioner of a big league if you don't lean into that and let that rivalry that is there percolate a lot. When you're talking NBA, if you're not doing U.S. versus the world, you're crazy. If you're not doing U.S. versus Canada or however you do it in hockey, you're nuts. Baseball is tailor-made for this.
Yeah, but you're playing three-inning games? Like, I mean, the biggest issue with this, Tausch, is that the big names weren't pitching. There was no Skeens. Miz was there, but he wasn't pitching. The problem with baseball is a lot of these big guys, especially the big-name pitchers, some guys decided they didn't want to play because they wanted to take the All-Star break, so some hitters didn't show up. Their issue is participation amongst their biggest
and
stars
Gabe,
right now.
What I'm saying is, there's one thing, especially in baseball, where you want to have guys playing for their country.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, the motivation isn't going to be the same, but I'm telling you, you saw it with hockey. You saw it even with the NBA. When you start putting those natural rivalries together, it will matter more to them. Some people say it's unfortunate it matters more sometimes than the actual team. That could be your differentiator. And if you want to play a couple of four-inning games, I'm all for it. I don't need it to be a nine-inning. It's an exhibition. It will matter more. There's more urgency. And you play, you get four different teams, and you figure out the countries and how you want to break it up. And you do it that way and have boom, boom, and then you have a championship game that finishes at like 8:30, and it's a three- or four-inning game. Why not? Because what we saw last night, this isn't going to be sustainable. This is going to turn into bowl games. And this is going to turn into the Pro Bowl. And next thing you know, they're going to be throwing water balloons and dodgeballs at each other. And everybody's going to say, what the hell happened in 1971 to 2027 in the All-Star game? I don't think that's a road you want to go down.
Yeah, I just keep coming back to, doesn't matter what the format is, Miz wasn't going to pitch in it. Doesn't matter if it's USA versus Miz pitched on Sunday. He ain't pitching in this game. He ain't pitching in any sort of exhibition.
He didn't pitch on Sunday. I don't know.
He was supposed to.
I don't know. Maybe. I'll say this, Gabe. If we keep on this path, you're going to be 100% right. If you mix it up, you can maybe change that course a little bit.
Clip of the day is coming your way next here on Wildy and Tausch. Tausch, it's been fun, buddy. Appreciate you having me today.
Gabe, you're the best, man. You're a pro, like I said. Appreciate you filling in. I don't know who we got filling in tomorrow. Pretty sure they won't be as finely tuned as you are, though.
I believe you have
probably Jesse.
Owen will be back tomorrow, but Jesse is going to be back tomorrow as well in for Jason Wilde.
Confirmed.
As the cousin step of the day.
That's confirmed. So, but we do appreciate it, Gabe. And I thought the Trey Smack, I know we don't have time for a clip of the day, but I do think the Trey Smack on Jason's list, he needs to tinker a little bit because I do think the pressure is going to be on him probably about as much as a Jordan Morgan and some other guys that the Packers will be having.
He's Mark Tauscher. I'm your cousin, son of the day, Gabe Neitzel. This has been Wildy and Tausch. Coming up next, the Rich Eisen Show across ESPN Wisconsin.